Morning. Trust and pray everybody is doing well. As you can see, we've had a little uptick in COVID around our country as well as within our church family. There are a lot of folks that are out that are taking the precautions to quarantine themselves to try to make sure they don't come down with this crazy thing. So That said, we're gonna need your help this morning when we sing here in just a little bit, but we're glad that you're here. Look around. Give somebody a wave. Say Happy New Year. But it's a good way to start off the first Sunday of the year by being in the Lord's house with the Lord's people, and we'll do the best we can with what we have, as they say. If you're a part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito. We always appreciate him taking the moments and the opportunity to be there to interact with our online crowd, our online audience, which I think we'll probably have quite a few more today than we normally do, just for those that are at home. We love you. We appreciate your concern and care for our church family, and we hope, trust, and pray that you don't wind up catching this and that you're back with us really, really soon. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come into your house in this new year, we're grateful for this opportunity. Father, we pray that we will never take for granted the moments that you give us to serve you, and the times that you give us to come together as a church family to worship you. Now, Lord, we just pray that as we take these moments and we lift our hearts and our voices and our prayers to you, that Lord, it truly would be a sweet, sweet savor to you. Lord, we pray that you will bless and watch over those who are dealing with the COVID virus today, and those that are doing the best they can to avoid getting it. May you give them a blessing today. We thank you, Father, for the technology that allows us to be able to reach out to them where they are in a way that is still safe, and yet they could still be a part of our church family this morning. So, Lord, we pray that in each and everything that we say and do today, we would magnify, honor, and glorify you. And, Lord, we pray that you'll change our hearts and our lives, and may we be different because we've been in your presence today, as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, like I say, we're a little thin today, so you guys are going to have to help us out. You're going to have to put your choir voice on. Brad is dealing with sinus issues. I'm dealing with sinus issues. Sound like I could sing bass today, but I'm going to try to do that from the privacy of my own seat. But Brad's going to be leading us in our just a couple praise and worship choruses here in just a moment. He's going to be leading from the piano. So be sure to sing out and help him out. Don't be looking around at everybody. You make your joyful noise unto the Lord.
Thank you, Roy.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. You are precious food. Would you give up? I'd be a fool. My all in all, Jesus, my love, is your name. My love, your name. Take my sin, my cross, my shame. I bless you.
Majesty, let all the earth rejoice.
all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. Age to age he stands. Time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead.
Morning. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. As we enter into a new year, I am reminded of what we have gone through for the past 2 years. In some ways, it seems that it's been short. I mean, it seems like there's part of life that's just missing. Doesn't it seem like that to you? I mean, how many times have you said, well, I remember last year when it wasn't really last year, it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Or I remember last time we were on vacation, it wasn't last year, it was, you know, 2019. Well, we have headed into a new year. And I think one of the biggest issues that we have seen as we look forward to 2022 is people are sitting back looking for what they used to know as normal, don't we? Now notice what I said, what we used to know as normal. Yeah, if we could turn back the clock, if we could turn back time, we would probably sit back and remember, you know, how things seemed like they were automatic that aren't automatic now. Yeah, this is what we did. This is the way our schedules went. This is the way we moved. This is the way we functioned. And everything just flowed. But there hasn't been any flow for about 2 years, has it? Yeah, and what's happened is we've become frustrated. Yeah, it's not that we get to the point where it's like, well, we're going along with the flow, but I just get frustrated because things aren't the way they used to be. Like I say, we're creatures of habit. We like things to be normal as we know them. And things for the last couple years haven't been normal as we know them by any stretch of the imagination. But what happens is we've got to be careful because we don't want to miss out on something that God has in store for us that is breaking the norm. Now, as I consider that as I've talked to people as we're heading into the new year, I guess one of the big things that I was thinking is I've heard people say, I wish things were like they used to be. Yeah, and I've gotten to the point where I've said, what do you mean like they used to be? And then I usually get this, well, you know, before the pandemic. And I said, okay, well, how did they used to be? Well, you know, we used to be able to go here and go there, and we didn't have all these restrictions and troubles, and we used to be able to get something to eat without the worries or what have you, and, you know, we We used to be able to sit in the waiting room at the doctor's office, and we didn't have to jump through all these hoops. And I said, okay, well, I get what you're saying there. And I think that sometimes God wants to shake our little snow globe of life to break all the habits that we have gotten so used to. And as I thought about that, I thought about a passage that's very, very familiar. And I want us to look at it mainly because of its familiarity, but I want us to see a different angle from it today. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. We're going to begin reading at verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we simply ask you that you would give us insight into your word. Father, we have gathered here together today, and in the stillness and the quietness that is your house, you are here to speak to us. Lord, I pray that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say, that you might draw us close to you. Lord, we pray that as we lift you up, that you will help give us an understanding of who we are, but Lord, better than that, who you are, and Lord, who you are to us. Help us realize, Father, that as your children, there is nothing that you're going to do to hurt us, but only to prosper us and to draw us close. Lord, may we learn lessons from the circumstances of life that we're going through right now. Lord, may we take on the challenges of your word as we head into a new year. And Lord, may we draw closer to you than we've ever been in our lives. Father, for these moments, I pray that you would use me as your messenger. Speak through me to your people as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I thought about this particular passage, I thought about how things changed for the disciples. I thought about how their life was going on ordinary and how it was normal. How they had, even as they were walking with Jesus, they had an opportunity to see the miracles that he was doing. They had the opportunity to be a part of some of the greatest things that they had ever seen in their life. And I'm sure that they had gotten almost in what would seem like automatic mode. You know, I'm sure that, now you got to remember, Jesus had been with a crowd. And like I say, there was always a few new surprises each time. But I can imagine the disciples were sitting back saying, okay, the revival meeting's over with. What's next on the agenda? Where are we going next? Well, okay, if we can kind of get all these people gone, we'll have us a little bite to eat. We'll have a little planning meeting. We'll get the I's dotted and the T's crossed. We'll figure out where the next place is that we're going. And just business as usual. Isn't that what we do? That's the way we work. Okay, we've got this done. Now let's sit down. Let's get ready for what's next. See, I think one of the biggest problems is We're always too busy getting ready for what's next because we think we know what is next. I believe that's where the Lord has gotten all of our attention over the past few years. So instead of it being business as usual, Jesus goes to his disciples and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there, I want you to get in the boat, and I want you to head on to the other side. The other side of this body of water. Changing plans. Well, that's not unusual. We have those things all the time, don't we? We have changes in plans. Matter of fact, changes in plans have been, you know, everything's been real fluid for the last couple of years. Even this morning, one of the things we were talking about. We have to be so fluid about how things change so rapidly. So Jesus tells his disciples, here's what I want you to do. Change your plans. You guys get in the boat, head on over this. I'll join you later. So his disciples did exactly what they were supposed to do. They were obedient in following Jesus. And that verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. As a matter of fact, the crowd hadn't even dispersed yet. He said, you guys go ahead, go on over there and get set up. I'll join you later. I'm going to send the crowds away. But it says in verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So we know what he was doing. Jesus needed a little bit of good old alone time with the Father. Disciples, you go ahead. I'm going to send the crowds away. I'm going to have some time that I'm going to spend here with God the Father. And it says, and when the evening came, he was alone. But then something critical happened. It says in verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. What contrary means, we know what that means. How many times did grandma said, you just being contrary? The wind was against them. Now, many times we've looked at this before, and we've said, these guys were seasoned fishermen. They were people that were used to being on the sea. Getting in a boat was no big deal for them. Riding out a little storm was not that big of a deal. This was not a little storm. This was also not anything that took Jesus by surprise. Jesus knew what was going to take place. Jesus knew that as he sent them away, and he did that, he did it, knowing that he was not going to be physically with them in the moment that this was taking place. Are you starting to see a lesson in this? You see, folks, for a lot of us, we've gotten worried about the future. We worry about what's going to happen today. We worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We worry about, you know, things aren't normal. They're out of kilter. They don't seem like they used to be. Now, I've said I believe with all my heart that part of the reason that that's happened is God is tired of seeing his children do it their own way, build their own little castles, chart their own courses, go through with a form of godliness, but not one that touts him. Now, a lot of us would sit back and say, well, what are you talking about? Well, folks, is Jesus your Lord 24-7? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Or is it just something that we do on Sunday? You know, I honestly believe that Jesus has decided to separate the chaff from the wheat through the last 2 years. You know why? Because there is going to be a falling away. There currently is a falling away. You know, because if you're not in it to win it, as they say, if you're not sold out, you're going to walk away. And you begin to look at what took place here. Seasoned fishermen are in a storm that's a bad one. This one's got them scared. At first, they were out there saying, well, yeah, this is no big deal. We've done this 1,000 times. We fished all of our lives. We got this. How many of us have said that about our circumstances in life? Oh, that's not a problem. I've got this. I got it under control. No worries. I do this all the time. And then it goes south. Verse 25 says, now in the fourth watch of the night. Now, the fourth watch of the night begins at 3 a.m. So it's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. This next part's getting ready to take place. It's 3 in the morning. Now, I don't know how long the battle against the wind and the waves was. I don't know what time Jesus shut down his revival meeting, but usually there's not a whole lot stirring at 3 a.m., is it? Or somewhere between 3 and 6. When it says now, verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Jesus was there. He didn't need a boat. He didn't need some sort of vessel to sail out to them. Jesus went walking on the waves. Now, I want you to picture that for a moment. I want you to get the picture of seasoned fishermen, seasoned men of the sea out there. That boat is pitching and yawing. It is going all over the place. They're scared to death. They're hanging on. And then here's Jesus. Just walking in the midst of the storm. That's a good word, isn't it? You might want to write that down. Walking in the midst of the storm came Jesus. Not fretting it, not fearing it, not worrying about it, but going to his disciples who were in need. Verse 26 says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. That's an interesting thing right there. When they saw him, they were troubled. Now, why were they troubled? Because it says, they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. They thought that they were on an episode of Scooby-Doo or something. It's like, whoa, what is going on? I see a ghost. They were fearful. They didn't recognize Jesus. Now, can you begin to understand the spiritual lessons? Folks, I think that what's happened is so many times God has wanted to put us in the middle of a storm so that the only thing we can do is look for him in the midst of the storm. Are we doing that? Now, that's an important, a very important point. And I'm going to reiterate something to you in just a moment from one of the other Gospels. It says that they cried out for fear. Looked like they'd seen a ghost. Now, you don't have to turn there, but I want to give you Mark's account of this in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Same thing's going on, but now notice what that says. It says, then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. And now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Did you pick that last part up? Look at it again. Mark it. Make sure you put it in the other scripture, the other gospel scriptures that we're talking about here, because this is very important. The last part said, and would have passed them by. Would have passed them by except for what? Yeah, I've said this many, many times. How often is Jesus in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your situation, in the midst of the pandemic, jumping up and down, trying to get your attention? What he wants you to do is see him in the middle of your troubles. You see, I believe that this passage right here tells us that Jesus was just wanting to be noticed to start with. That as he came by, I mean, picture, remember, he's out there in a terrible storm. He's walking along. He's not jumping up yelling at the disciples, guys, I'm over here. Guys, I'm on my way out there to save you. No, no. He just showed up in the middle of the circumstance. He showed up in the middle of the situation. And he waited to see what the disciples were going to do. Did you get that? See, I believe with all my heart, Jesus is waiting to see what his disciples are going to do. First off, are you going to recognize him in the middle of the storm? Because let me make this promise, he's there. That's number one. Number two, when you recognize him, will you call out to him? Will you cry out for deliverance? Have you turned it over to him? You see, Jesus doesn't force his way into anyone's heart or life. He doesn't force his way into anyone's circumstance or situation. Look at it again. Verse 48 of Mark 6 says, then when he saw them straining and rowing, that's the disciples, for the wind was against them. Now it's about the fourth watch of the night. He came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Why would he have passed them by? He would have passed them by if they hadn't sought him for help. Not that Jesus was just going to let them go. He was just sitting there saying, I am here to offer assistance. How many of us have ever been in a situation where somebody needed some assistance? You could see it. You knew it. And you went to offer that assistance and you're like, can I help you? Can I help you with that? And they're like, no, I got this. And you knew they needed the help. And you're like, I'd be more than happy to. No, I got it. And then you watch them struggle and you're like, listen, I could really help you with this. I've got it. Usually it's little kids when they're trying to flex some independence. I do it self. You've seen it before. You know, the meal that's all over the table and the floor and the child and the walls. And I do it self. And you're like, well, you know, I'd like for some of that to get into your stomach to provide nutrition. Yeah, or you've seen it, you know, it's like you're getting ready to pick something up and, you know, a little fella comes over and goes, I got this end. And you're like, that thing weighs as much as a car to you. How are you going to get you? But yet they believe it. See, I think God is watching us like them little kids and we're going, oh, God, I do it self. I do it myself. He's in the middle of our circumstances. He's in the middle of our situations. I've said this so many times. I have it written down in my Bible. I'll see if I can see it. But it says, sometimes in the storms, the things that cause us the most fear, or the thing that causes us the most fear, is the vehicle of the Master's coming. The thing that scares us the most, the thing that has us the most fearful, is the vehicle that Jesus is using to get our attention. The circumstance that he knows, he's like, look, you can't handle this and you know it. You're going to have to turn it over to me. You're going to have to allow me to do it. You see, he even took seasoned fishermen and put them in their own element and had them scared to death. Then he shows up walking on the sea. I'm just picturing it. And they're out there going, left, right, left, right. Jesus is going. You notice it doesn't say Jesus called out to them, does it? That's not what it says. Go back into our passage in Matthew. It says, verse 26, and when the disciples saw him, walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out for fear. They saw Jesus. They didn't recognize him. They thought it was a ghost, but they saw him. Jesus wasn't screaming at them. He wasn't jumping up and down. He was just visible. Now, I want to say this before I move past that. In the middle of your circumstances, in the middle of your crises, Jesus is visible if you'll look for him. In the midst of the darkness, he's there if you'll look for him. Verse 26 says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost,' and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" You see, when the fear began to overtake them, when they didn't realize that it was Jesus, when they thought it was something else, then Jesus identified who he was. "Guys, it's all right. Be of good cheer. It's me. Don't be afraid. It's all good." Now remember the situation. This boat is flinging guys all around in it. And Jesus is out there like, no problem. Jesus is not being tossed to and fro. Jesus spoke to him and said, "Be of good cheer." And he gave him this. He said, "Don't be afraid." How many times throughout the Word of God and circumstances and situations has the Lord told us, "Do not be afraid"? Time after time after time after time. Do not be afraid. And yet, where do we find ourselves? Afraid. Afraid we're going to lose our job. Afraid of our family situation. Afraid of our health issues. Afraid. Now, I'm not talking about taking precautions. I'm talking about being fearful. Because the Lord said, "I haven't given you the spirit of fear." He also didn't give us the mind of stupidity either. There's a difference between them two, you know? You got to be smart. But then Peter, loved this guy. I can kind of relate to him. He was a little bit of a knucklehead, fast talker, slow to engage his brain sometimes, but he was a genuine, pure-hearted guy. Peter, in verse 28, says, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water.'" Now, a lot of people would say, "Well, Peter, that's a pretty brazen guy, man. He's kind of testing Jesus out there. He's stepping up." Yeah, there could have been something completely different thought about Peter in this regard. When you're afraid, are you looking for an escape and a way out of your fear or your circumstance or situation? You're usually looking for a way out, aren't you? So what happens with Peter is, Peter sees Jesus not struggling on the water, not fearful on the water. Peter has been with Jesus. He knows the miraculous works that he can do. And I guess when you look at it, Peter realized that where Jesus was a much safer place to be. It was much calmer water where Jesus was than being in that boat where he was. Agreed? So maybe Peter wasn't so crazy after all. He said, "Looks calmer over there. I'd like to be where you are." Are you getting the spiritual analogy here? Lord, it looks a lot calmer where you are. I'd like to be where you are. And then when Peter said, verse 28, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And I love Jesus' response. Yeah. That's not King James, that's Roy. Yeah. Now, verse 29 said, and he said, "Come." Come on, Peter. Step on out. Water's fine over here.
Remember we said Jesus, the best thing we can do is get to where he is if we don't find ourselves where he is. So he said, come, and Peter came down out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Everything was great. All was right. He was walking across the stormed waves. He was walking across the torrential downpours, and everything was working out beautifully. And then Peter had a problem. He had the same problem that we often have. It happens in verse 30. It says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. You know what the problem came in? The problem wasn't that Peter didn't believe what Jesus could do. The problem wasn't that Peter didn't believe that it was more calm where Jesus was. The problem was that once Peter stepped out in the supernaturalness that is God, when he was walking on water, which man cannot do, I've tried it a few times, can't be done. I'm sure at first Peter was like, this is cool. I mean, let's be real. All right. And then I call it Warner Brother-ish. You know what Warner Brother-ish is? Y'all watch cartoons if you're a real American that's older like us. Y'all watched Bugs Bunny growing up, right? I mean, where are my Bugs Bunny people? I still like Bugs. But Warner Brother-ish is one of those deals where you see the cartoon character, usually it's Wile E. Coyote, when he walks off of a cliff and he just walks out onto the air. And everything's fine for those few moments, and then he goes and looks down and realizes there's nothing under me. And then what happens? Whew, down he goes. Well, see, we know the reality is he's not going to hang suspended in the air for that length of time. Yeah, until he realizes it, and then all of a sudden the laws of gravity change. Now, it doesn't work that way. But yet, in this case, that was what happened with Peter. Peter got out of that boat, and he started across that water, and I'm sure he was going, this is cool. But then his focus changed. I don't know what the distance between him and Jesus was. I don't know how far he walked on the water. But I do know this. I know that he made the journey to where he was close to Jesus. How do I know he was close to Jesus? Because that verse tells us that when he began to sink, he cried out. And he was close enough that Jesus reached down and picked him up, and lifted him up. But you see, Peter's perspective changed. This is what I want you to get today. Peter's perspective changed. All of a sudden, he went from, it's rough and troubled over here, I'm on my way to Jesus, to going, wow, this is a bad, bad storm, and I'm not supposed to be able to be walking on the water. His faith got rattled. How many people's faith has gotten rattled over the last 2 years? Is your faith going to be rattled as we head into a new year? Are you going to be the one that's going to walk away from Jesus? See, I've said that many times, that Jesus had a whole lot more disciples than just the 12 to start with. And there's a passage in the New Testament that when he began to tell the disciples what it meant to follow him and what it meant to be a disciple, a lot of them said, this ain't what I'm signing up for, and they left. Remember what Jesus said to the 12. He said, you want to leave too? You want to walk away? There's a door. The herd got thinned, didn't it? So I believe Jesus is looking for a few good men and a few good women that are going to be with him through thick and thin no matter what, not going to turn their back on him, that in the middle of the storm are going to head toward Jesus, not turn their back on him, not walk away. We've seen that happen throughout biblical history, haven't we? There was a remnant. I remember David feeling sorry for himself up in the cave, and he said, I'm the only one left. Lord's like, no, you're not. There's a remnant. Are you going to be part of that? Are you going to be able to trust the Lord in the middle of the circumstances and realize that the things that we're having trouble with, that we're struggling with, could be the vehicle of His coming in your life to bring you to the point where He's drawing you close to Him? Verse 30 says, but when he saw, this being Peter, that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink. As he began to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Peter was doing a great job all the way up to the point that his faith wavered, all the way up to the point where his focus was more on the storm than the Savior that he was heading to. And folks, our storms come in many different shapes, forms, and sizes, don't they? Some of us it's health. Some of us it's job. Some of us it's family. Some of us it's relationships. But let me make you a promise. Jesus is in the middle of your storm, waiting for you to see. Will 2022 be the year that you say, Lord, this is a colossal mess? Have you been there? Boy, I have. It's kind of like that masterpiece that you build that all of a sudden goes and just falls down. Because Jesus said, you built it yourself. That's what you get. Until we get to the point where we say, Lord, I surrender all. Giving it all to you. All I want to be is obedient to you. No matter, listen, the circumstances don't matter. The storms don't matter. God, give me peace in the middle of the storm. Give me the heart to step out of the boat and head in your direction. And Lord, give me the vision to see you in the middle of my storm. 2022 is here. Ready or not, here it comes. And there's nothing magical about flipping the page on a calendar. But there is something magical about flipping the switch to say, Lord, whatever I am, whatever I've got left, it belongs to you. Lord, I'm coming. I'm heading in your direction. Steady my feet. And listen, he'll do it just like he did with Peter. Stop looking at the storm. Start looking at the Savior. Verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him and he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter, you were doing so good. You almost crossed the finish line. You were almost a few more steps. Listen, the hard part was done. I mean, that would be like running a marathon, which you will never see me do. And running, what is it, 26 miles? Is it 26 miles? 26 miles. Man, I'm driving that. But getting, you know, to 25 miles. 0.9, however you measure it, and just walking up, jogging up to the tape and going, I think I'll stop here. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? What's clicking in your mind or not clicking in your mind that would want you to do that? Me? You're going to drag me across that thing. If I ever got to that point, someone push me. I don't want to go away. Listen, if I pass out, somebody grab my arm and slide me across the line that when I wake up, I can look up and say, I made it. Don't quit. Some of you right now, God is calling to get out of the boat. The storm is fierce. And you need to step out. Some of you have gone as far as stepping out of the boat and you've headed in the direction of Jesus, but you're starting to look at the waves that are around you. Stop it. Keep your focus on Jesus. Some of you have already started to sink and you are crying out desperately for help. Let me make you the promise. His hand is right there and he will lift you up. But he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" I simply say this because I've said it for the whole time that we've been through the pandemic, that none of this has taken Jesus by surprise. Do you think that it surprises him that his church is not full anymore? Do you think it surprises him about what's taking? No, it doesn't. I think it's a sifting process. I really do. Will we survive? Will we maintain, or will we turn our backs and walk away? Verse 32 says, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. The storm was over." What? Wait, what? You mean Jesus controls the wind and the waves? Yeah. You mean Jesus controls the pandemic? Yeah. Jesus controls those family circumstances? Yeah, he does. Are we going to trust him? See, I have a feeling that there's some testing along the way that's been through this whole circumstance and situation. But let me make you the promise. When you get Jesus' hand and you get back in the boat, the storm was over. The storm will be gone. It's interesting that verse 33 says, "Then those who were in the boat potatoes, the one that never got out of the boat, the ones that were hiding, lashing themselves down, that never, ever got out of the boat." Verse 33, "Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Has he not proven who he is over and over and over and over to us? And he says, "Can't you trust me? Haven't you seen what I've done?" A lot of people would sit back and say, "Well, yeah, but you know, I haven't quite seen it. I didn't get a chance to see it like these guys did." But listen, the disciples had been with Jesus. Peter had been with Jesus. Peter had watched the miracles, and so did the other disciples, and yet they were scared to death in the middle of that storm. You are scared to death in the middle of your storm. You better find Jesus. Make your way to the Master. If you're there today, and you listen, I just want to encourage you to start looking around, because he's there. He's on the horizon or closer. Will you get to Jesus? Will 2022 be the year that you said, "Lord, there ain't nothing I can do to change these situations and circumstances. I'm just going to trust you. I'm not going to worry about it. I know that I am in the palm of your hand, that you mean me no harm, that you mean good to me. But help me, Lord, to be obedient, even if that means that everything in your life has been stripped around you so that God can get your attention. Be sure he's got your undivided attention. Because when you get back in the boat with Jesus, the storm will go away." Isn't that great? And remember, it is most often the circumstances and the situations of the storms that are the vehicle of his coming in your life. What is he trying to do for you? What is he trying to do to you? What is he trying to do with you in this new year? May this be the year that each and every one of us turn the corner, walk on the water, get to Jesus, and see life change. Could you do that? First of all, I'm going to ask if you know Christ as your Savior. Do you know Jesus? That is the most paramount thing that there is to know. Have you trusted him? Have you said, "Lord, I realize today that if I were to die, I'll spend an eternity in hell. I don't want to see that. God, right now, forgive my sins, save my soul." If not, then I encourage you right now, just bow your head and say, Father, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. In Jesus' name. And listen, he'll do that. That's what he said. That's just prayer, is just communication with him. Do you believe what he accomplished on Calvary's cross? For some of us, we've been wandering around building our own little sand castles, and we've got the whole Santa's village looking good. And Jesus came back the last 2 years and just wiped it clean. And we've either been busy sitting back crying, thinking about our loss, or we're ready to get up and say, Lord, I get it now. I want to be part of the castles you build. I'm coming home. 2022 is going to be a good year. Not just because I said it was going to be a good year, but because the Lord has allowed us to be a part of it. The way we feel about Jesus cannot ebb and flow based on ever-changing circumstances. If you love him, love him, through the good and through the bad. I like what Job said, and many times we know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's easy to praise him when the Lord giveth. It's so much harder when the Lord taketh away. But can we truly say, blessed be the name of the Lord? Because God is good. And all the time. Not just some of the time. All the time. What decision do you need to make before the Master today? I'm not going to ask for you to sing. I'm just going to ask Brad if he would play. If you would just play our invitation time. I'm just going to ask if you just stand right where you are for these moments. If you just go ahead and stand up and in an attitude of prayer as Brad plays our invitation. Do you need this altar? It's here. If you need me, I am here. Whatever the case is, I pray that you will have done business with the Lord today, that you will not walk away the same way you came in, that you will go away blessed, and that you will go away at peace. Would you ponder that as Brad plays? Time, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him as we begin this new year. What a joy and a privilege it is to be able to be faithful and obedient to give back to the Lord that which he has so richly blessed us with, that his work may continue to go forward. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we just again praise you and thank you for provision. Lord, you are the God of the universe. You have created everything, and you have given each and every one of us the opportunities to be able to prosper, and the jobs that you've given us, Lord, to be able to survive. You have made the provision necessary for each and every one of us. And Lord, we come to this time where you ask us to be faithful. You challenge us, you test us to give back just a small little bit. Lord, I pray that we truly would be found faithful in doing so today, that we would give back the biblical tithe, that not just because physical monies or things that need to make the church operate, but God, because you have promised each and every one of us a blessing beyond anything that we could ever imagine. You say that blessing will be in such an abundance that we won't be able to handle it. Lord, I want to see that for each and every one of us. May this new year begin the start of something new and amazing in giving to you. Lord, I've learned that you can never be outgiven. You're just that kind of God. Bless this tithe and offering as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Things and we'll get you out of here. Announcement wise, there will not be evening activities here this evening as we come through the holidays. Just as a reminder as well, the church office will be closed tomorrow. When the holiday falls on the weekend, we usually take the holiday the day after that. So the church office will be closed tomorrow. No evening services here this evening. And just as a reminder, church conference will be on January the 16th, I like how we put it, around 7 p.m., whatever time we get done with the evening worship service. And also coming up on Tuesday the 11th is our blood drive. Have a blood drive here every other month. If you are interested in assisting or giving, Katie can help you out right here. There's Katie. You can see her up front. There's also some other information here. And I believe we're going to break bad with some chili this go-around, right? Is that what we're thinking? Yeah, we're going to have some real food, man. That's cool. Oh, we won't say that. But listen, if you haven't signed up, give the gift of life. That will be on Tuesday, January the 11th from 2:30 p.m. To 7 p.m. in our multipurpose building next door. Just a couple of quick things to remind you of as far as birthdays. Coming up this week, Wesley Ham's birthday is today, Monday. Jonah Wilson, Kelly Joyce's birthday is on Tuesday, and Neil and Gantz is on Thursday. So if you're a card sender or a social media person, be sure to wish them all a very happy birthday. And we don't have any anniversaries slated for this week, but we appreciate each and every one of you. And I will say this, I know that the pandemic is kind of touching closer to home once again. We will try to monitor things this week. If things are looking bad, then we may go virtual next week. Well, like I say, it depends. We're going to see how that goes. I personally don't want to do that, but we want everybody to be as safe as possible. I know that by doing it this way, actually, you have the best of both worlds. If you want to be here, you can be here. If you choose to go virtual, then you can do that as well. But we're just going to kind of keep our finger on the heartbeat and the pulse of what's taking place and what's going on through this week, because it's touching close to home. And we got a lot of people that are either under quarantine or trying to be very, very cautious, which we understand. So we'll let you know by way of phone tree, by way of email, by way of social media, if we get to that position. That decision probably will not be made until we get later on to the week, like maybe Friday or Saturday. So at this point, just plan on being here, all right, until we hear otherwise. But we'll just kind of keep an eye on what's taking place and what's going on, and we'll make adjustments as we can, okay? All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we will look forward to seeing you guys. We will still have our Wednesday evening Bible study by way of online, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We thank you again for the opportunity to experience a new year. Lord, you are truly good all the time. And we pray that in the midst of our trials and tribulations, in the midst of the storms of life, that we might truly be like Peter and be able to look on the horizon of the mess and see you standing there. But Lord, not only that we would call out to you, that you would give us strength and courage to get out of the boat and walk across the angry seas, to get into the safe place of your arms. Lord, I pray that you will truly help us to realize that those storms are truly the vehicle of your coming. And may we be found faithful and strong when we stand in your presence and when we look you eye to eye. May we truly be about the Father's business. May we serve you better in this year than we ever have in the past. And Lord, may we take the remnant that is left and go forward in a way that will change hearts and lives forever, that will change our community forever. For Lord, we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Pray y'all have a great week.